Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. In the last issue, Sam finally made it to Key House, and now he's threatening to kill the Lock Kids unless he gets the keys that he wants. So let's go ahead and finish out the last chapter of this Lock and Key story arc.
Alright, so we'll start this issue out here, basically where we left off with Sam and Tyler. Sam is still yelling through the door to Nina and Duncan. He wants to know where... He wants two keys. The key to anywhere and the key to the black door.
Neither of them seem to know
they
what he's
no
talking about.
They have no idea what's going on.
Because their memories have been wiped by the key house.
Well, especially Duncan's, obviously.
But Nita seems to try to come up with some kind of ploy to trick Sam mm-hmm. by telling him that that it's in the drawer up in her room, right?
Yep.
Where the
Tyler
gun is at.
Tyler knows where it's at.
Yep. And Tyler knows that the gun's there.
Yep. So Sam takes Tyler up to her bedroom. You know, Duncan asks Nina if she knew what he was talking about. She's like, "No, I have no idea." You know, he asks why he sent them that way, and that's where the gun is. I mean, she said it earlier, obviously. But then we go over to next page is Bode using the ghost key, and so he's trying to figure out where the anywhere key is. So he's thinking of the anywhere key. And he pops over to Kinsey.
He actually does have like the image right there as well of the key. And,
yeah,
like,
while he's thinking of it.
And stuff,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is curious because
he doesn't know what
it looks like at all.
Well,
he's had a rough description given to
okay.
him.
Okay. Yeah, because it's just a key with keys with more locks on it. But so he's like, no, I don't want to see Kinsey. Like, you know, I can't see this right now. I got to find the anywhere key. So he thinks about it again, but brings it back to Kinsey.
And this time closer to her arm, specifically.
And then, and then he realizes, oh, wait, it's that bracelet looks awfully familiar. Because the anywhere key is in the bracelet.
Which, yeah, she basically said earlier anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she basically, yeah. Because that's what Ellie Whedon caught on.
Right.
So Bode comes back into his body, realizes where he needs to go.
And leaves the key in the door.
And the key itself... locks itself?
Yeah, it does. I for some reason, didn't notice that either.
Yeah.
Like,
it's interesting.
It's a very subtle little thing.
It's almost like the house's mind of its own.
Well, more specifically, the keys, which makes sense.
Yes.
So next page, we have Sam leading, I guess Tyler technically leading Sam, but, you know, Sam's got the gun to him, upstairs into his mom's room, and they're talking back and forth, you know. He keeps talking about the keys, and Tyler has no idea, you know, he's talking about why he killed his dad, pretty much, was that, you know, he didn't want to kill his dad, he just came for the keys, and his dad wouldn't give him the keys, so, you know.
But he also did ask him to.
Yeah.
I killed him because you asked me to. I told him that, too, right before I shot him, that you asked me to kill him. You should have seen his face.
That's some really heavy shit to be banging on somebody.
But as Sam is... Well, as Tyler's leading Sam up, we see Bode behind him scurrying from the one room where the death door is at down into the basement. And he gets down there to grab the bracelet off of Kinsey so that he can take it to the Echo. He hears Nina, his mom, in the room, in the cellar, or wine cellar, and she basically tells him to try and let them out, but that the key was gone. So then she says to run and go get help. And Bode is like, I will. I'm going to get help right now. And he leaves the basement. We go back over to Sam and Tyler. And Tyler tells Sam that the keys are in the dresser over there. And so as Sam is looking through the dresser, which is a panty drawer, because this also, Sam makes mention of how Al said that his mom always used to flash her panties at him at the car wash. He always wondered if he made that up, but seeing, because he's looking through the underwear, he's like, this is pretty boring underwear, not like the stuff Al described. But as he's looking through that, he looks up in the mirror and sees Tyler trying to go through the nightstand drawer and ask what he's doing, just basically stops him by pointing the gun at his face. walks over there, sees that the what he was trying to get at, and sees that it's another gun. He has to make mention, just to as a nice little kick in the groin, I guess, that the gun he was been holding has been empty for this entire time. As he's checking the gun, make sure it's got bullets.
He's making sure the clip's got rounds in it, basically.
He turns around and sees that Tyler's gone. Ran off.
So he chases him down. They run through the door that Boat had just come through, which leads him to the ghost door, or death door, whatever you want to call it. Right before he runs out the door, Sam catches him across the back of the head with the gun, and then he starts strangling him. But as he's strangling him, he drops him outside of the door partially.
Yeah, so Sam thinks he killed Tyler.
Right.
But we see Tyler's ghost.
Yeah, his spirit or whatever,
staring at his body and Sam.
Yeah, have we ever seen more than one person go through the door?
No.
At one time? No.
Because I'm going to point out that maybe the key unlocked because in order for a person to actually affect it, you have to turn the key yourself. Because when he falls through it, he goes out. But I wonder if the other guy, if Sam Lester were to fall through, if his ghost would go or not. Because Kinsey started putting her hand through the door when Bode was through it.
She was getting ready to, but then he woke up.
Right. So I'm not really sure if it passed the threshold.
But maybe
or not.
It's also the fact that it's Tyler's head that's out of there and not his,
not Sam's finger or anything.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. It's just, important thing. So I think it has more to do with who turns the key rather than, who walks through the door.
Okay.
Because they made that a very specific thing that happened.
It actually had to be locked, yeah. That's an interesting concept on that.
I didn't think of that.
But anyways, so we've got, Ghost Tyler, and then it pans back over to Bode, who's taking the bracelet up to the well house. And he says, I found it. It was in my sister's bracelet. And the Echo says, hey, I think I knew this at once upon a time, and that the key was hidden in the bracelet. She talks about how his dad, basically took great pains to make sure she couldn't find any of the keys, that she wanted.
Yeah. He took all my memories, all the secrets, all to keep his secret, all because he was afraid. That's how the trouble began, when he started hiding things from me. We then see the Echo. She is able to get the key off of the bracelet and puts it into the closet and unlocks it and walks through...
Into the bedroom.
Into Kinsey's bedroom, specifically.
Is that Kinsey's bedroom? Oh, yeah.
As the Rastafarian, on the wall.
Yeah.
Dreamcatcher.
And then she just takes the bracelet and just chucks it down the well. She's done. She's got what she needed. Bode's like, you said you'd stop him, remember? You promised, remember? And she walks through. Bode hops in there to go to the closet, and it's back to being a closet. So we see the Echo. This entire time, she's had this pouch around her neck. She reaches into it and grabs out the gender key. And this key has got male and female symbols plus male and female faces.
The swirl would be the changing of the genders.
Probably, I'd imagine. And obviously, like you pointed out earlier, the chromosomes, the X and Ys on the key as well.
But the reason she's in Kinsey's room is because Kinsey has got the gender door on it, or in her closet.
Yeah, coming out of the closet.
Well, and it's funny because she goes into this side of Kinsey's room, goes through the door, out into Tyler's room.
Which is a boy's room to a girl's room, a girl's room to his boy's room.
And it looks like Luke Cavendall a little bit, just with long hair. Or how do you say his name?
Luke Cavanaugh.
Cavanaugh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I gotta find something else to wear, something that goes with balls.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, haven't had balls in a while. We flip over to back to Tyler, who, he thinks he's dead. He is a ghost floating around. And then he starts to just freak out in his head. He's like, I don't want to do this to my mom, not after dad. Please, I want to make sure she's okay. And then he pops into, he's thinking about his mom. So then he pops over to his mom, and he sees her. At this time, we're seeing Sam had drug Tyler's body down to
the dresser. Would be a really big feat for a guy as small as Sam is with a guy as big as Tyler is, because I don't know if you've ever picked somebody up when they're sleeping, even kids.
I have. dead weight. It's all dead weight.
It's all dead weight.
I'm sure he's thinking he's dead. He's probably just literally dragging him by his feet. Like, I don't think he picked him up.
Regardless, what I'm telling you is that Sam is a little guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he works out much.
No. Know? Well, I don't know. He was in Juvie for a while. And
Juvie's not the fucking pin room. But they don't have a weight room, you know.
But when they showed him earlier, he had some muscle on him.
But you're also thinking, you know, that it's, you know, tone to find muscle. But if you've noticed, skinny people also have muscle tone because they don't have much on him. See, look, he's a tiny little thing. But,
okay, that's fair.
So like, and I'm going to say that, you know, Tyler probably weighs at least 180 pounds.
Oh, easily.
You know?
Yeah.
He's probably like, you know, 5'10", something like that, you know, and he's a big guy. He's bulky.
Mm-hmm. Regardless.
Yeah. I was just, you know, stating that. You know,
he manages
trying to find the fault, right?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, Sam would probably be worn out at this point in time.
Well, that's why he's sitting down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, relaxing.
He's not sweating or breathing hard, though.
I mean,
must be that cool Massachusetts air.
Yep, sure, we'll go with that. But he is basically starting to gloat that, you know, Tyler's dead, and I choked him out myself.
You're surprised at how easy it was.
Yeah. And Nina's starting to freak out. And, you know, obviously, because, you know, husband died 3 months prior. Now her son is dead. And Duncan says, Sam, I think you're too smart to have done anything to Tyler. And Sam's like, I can't open the door to show you. But don't worry, I have to wake Kinsey up now, and she'll tell you he's really dead. Then we can do this all over again with her. And that kind of put Tyler on a, not really a warpath, but
he didn't want to be dead. You know, he's like, yeah. I don't want to be dead. And it pops him back up by the door. And then it flashes back to a memory of his where Bode was telling him about, you know, the ghost door, where he's like, hey, if you don't want to be dead anymore, all you have to do is go back through the door and wake up inside your body. So Tyler, you know, floats through the door, and it, you know, basically it just shows him disappearing. We go to the next one where Sam is trying to wake Kinsey up, which I would like to point out also that the fucking shadows are creepy as fuck when they've got faces.
I don't think it was the shadows.
Oh.
I think it's just them in shadow, like in...
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, silhouetted.
But then it shows the life coming back into his eyes, Tyler's eyes anyways. And while Sam is threatening Kinsey, Tyler bull rushes him from behind and, you know, knocks him away, knocks the gun out of his hand. They start fighting. Sam picks up a shovel and starts, you know, beating the crap out of
him. Well, no, he doesn't. Actually, Tyler has got Sam on the ground. Like, he's already bull rushed him. Tyler's saying, I'm going to kick your ass again. Like, I'm going to fuck you up. Sam is able to reach a shovel and kind of gets him behind the knees to buckle Tyler.
Yeah.
So now Tyler is on the ground. And before Sam can actually swing the shovel down to hit him, Kinsey had grabbed the gun and just took a shot and got him in the neck. So, and then she just starts shooting like crazy.
She missed him once and then shot him again in the leg.
Well, again, she also got, she's probably not.
Yeah.
She's got a little damage.
You gotta give her a high five for hitting twice.
Yeah.
I mean.
I'd also guess that she's probably never shot a gun before, based on her reaction earlier when her mom held the gun out.
Yes.
Because her dad didn't believe in guns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tyler gets up and you know, stops her, says, you know, you saved me. And she is smart ass and says, yeah, well, mom was locked up, so I figured it had to be me. By this time, Bode is back downstairs, so they're all basically embraced in each other. Sam had gone up the stairs into the house and runs into...
the male version of the Echo, or whatever you want to call it.
Because even Sam recognizes him as, or her as him. And so he kept on saying, I tried so hard. And the Echo says, you know, it's okay, Sam, you did your best. And then he chokes him out. He doesn't break his neck.
I think he breaks his neck there.
He does not break his neck because he's gurgling right here.
Look at his neck.
It's
right there. You can see a bone sticking out. Or it's at a weird angle, at least.
Okay.
I think he paralyzes him.
He definitely does something because he throws him through the
door. Like, well, he doesn't even try to fight anymore after that. So he had to have, like, snapped his neck just right to, you know, not kill him, but to, you know,
okay.
This part right here, he gets ready to throw him through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Could they have pulled the lines out of Star Wars? I mean, soon you will be more powerful than you can ever imagine.
I mean, this is an individual that was from the 80s, so...
Yeah.
Still stuck on 80s terminology, and we see that later on, because...
We see him constantly referencing other media all the time.
And asking about things. that are common knowledge nowadays. But yeah, he throws Sam through the door and then closes it.
Now here's a question though, because we were talking about it earlier about the lock and unlocking.
Well, so this just proves that
that's not true, because Sam didn't unlock the door, lock or unlock the door.
Yeah, no. So it just proves that that's wrong. So it just goes back to the fact that the door itself is special.
So maybe the door just has to be shut and then opened again before the next person goes through, and it doesn't matter who opens it maybe. As long as...
I mean, unless he took his hand and used it to turn the key.
No, because the door is... Yeah, door, right here, the door's already still open.
Yeah, the door's already open before he drags him over there.
But there.
It's, oh, yeah, that is true. Boom. Yeah, I'm not really sure how that works.
Well, let's just go ahead and say that it has to at least be open and closed.
Yes. Right, and I will say that those bugs out there are fireflies, not the actual moth.
Is it? Okay.
I
noticed that on the panel earlier, but yeah. And then we hear... Wait, hold on. Did Sam kill the officer up front?
I don't think so. No, because he came around the other side. He came from the back side of the island.
You'd think he should have heard the gunshots then, so that must be why...
Well, because I'm just trying to think. How did...
Why didn't that cop come and investigate after the gunshots?
Yeah, because I thought he did get him. I gotta double check
this. To be fair, the one cop does show up, the other guy.
Mutuku?
Mutuku, yeah.
Yes, but then how?
Knight shows up.
Well, the other cop might have called
for
backup.
Maybe when he heard the gunshots, he called for backup instead of going to investigate it, because technically that's what cops are supposed to do.
Or he just, and some cops are just afraid to go in.
Well, that's true, too. Especially when he found out the mom wasn't doing the cooking.
No, jeez. That's fair. Okay.
All right, so, he hears the cop basically, tell him to come out with his hands in the air. The Echo does. And so he uses the Anywhere key to open the door to transport him, we know not yet where.
Okay, Yoda. Officer Mutuku comes in the same door from the opposite direction and sees nobody there. We are then go over to the coach, Ellie Whedon's house, and the
doorbell ringing.
Mm-hmm, and she gets woken up, and she's pissed because she thinks it's just a prank. She's got a kid that's in bed, so she's getting pissed off because go wake up her son. But she opens up the door, and there is the Echo standing and being all formal, like, hello, Ellie. You look great. Mind if I come in? I killed your mother for you. It's really the least you can do. So this is, the beginnings of some plot lines down the road. We go back to Key House. And we see Mutuku talking to Duncan, taking his statement. Another cop is taking Tyler's statement. Mutuku asks to see where Sam wound up. And Duncan's like, no problem. So he grabs a key, just a regular key, and unlocks the door. And Tyler's like, wait, don't go through there. But they walk through like no issue. Duncan says, I suppose he was trying to get outside, maybe drag his way back to the boat. Matuku's like, okay, maybe. And Tyler's really confused, because last time he went through this door, he became a ghost.
Yeah.
So some pieces are starting to fall into place on everything that Bodhi was saying was true, and
he's starting to get an understanding of how they work.
Yes. Nina is seeing what Tyler is looking at, and Tyler just says, I thought I was a goner. I thought he actually killed me. And she jokes, saying, you're sticking around. Mama says. And Tyler's like, sounds good to me. And as they walk away, the door is still open, and we see the ghost of Sam in the doorway.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, so Lovecraft, 2 weeks later.
it goes to a scene with Kinsey and Bode as he's fishing in the reflecting pool outside of Lovecraft.
Fishing again.
Or the Key House, anyway. She's asking him why he doesn't turn to a ghost anymore, and he mentions that he doesn't know where the key is anymore. So, clearly, it disappeared with the Echo.
Yeah, she makes mention to Bode, like, it was all make-believe, right? The key in the door, like, you turn into a ghost. It's all fake, right? And Bode just kind of, he's not saying anything. He's just stoic.
Silently fishing.
Yeah, he doesn't make any mention of anything. Tyler walks up, asks them what they're doing, or ask them if anything's biting, knowing full well it's...
There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
She does say it's not for catching fish, it's for catching, and then she kind of just gets cut off. So it's another one of those instances where it's like, what is he trying to catch? So I do think he may be looking for other keys already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the house, you know, whispering through him, working through him to find stuff.
Well, I guess technically it would be the keys, not the house, but...
Well, yeah, the keys are part of the house, though.
Well, the keys are actually the keys.
But they're part of the house.
They're not actually part of the house.
The house is part of the keys.
But they do mention that the key house protects itself.
See?
So clearly something with the key house itself is...
Exactly.
...going on.
Anyway, so, you know, then you've got this shadowy figure standing behind Tyler, and bam, guess who pops up? This guy named Zach. Looks vaguely familiar.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. He's got this little
soul patch
and a lip piercing and some earrings. It's definitely not the same guy from the 80s. Totally not that.
This is Zach, and he's new at the academy, just like us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's funny how he just popped up, you know, a week late for school.
Two weeks later.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, Bode is kind of suspicious, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Kinsey gives him a funny look.
Yeah, Kinsey's already infatuated with him because
it's a boy.
Not gonna say that. Yeah, it's a boy. Yep, it's a boy. Bode gives Zach a funny look, and Tyler has to like prod Bode to say hello, and so he does.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help that, you know, the first thing that Zach says to him is, "You must be Bode. Ty told me so much about you. I feel like we're already old buddies." And then he just kind of gives him this, you know, look like, yeah.
So the last page here, we see the Tyler, Kinsey, and Zach start talking, and they start to walk away. Bode is reeling in his fishing rod, and on it, he's got a key, another key. This is the head key.
It's in the shape of a head, and it's got like basically the whole thing compartmentalized.
It's basically a head that's dissected in profile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can see the brain mainly.
Yeah. The very last panel is just basically a swirl of keys.
So here's the question. Why is there an infinity symbol on the head key?
It's not. I just literally just looked. It doesn't connect. I don't know.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Yeah, because if you look at this one right here, it actually does connect. No, yeah. I don't know. Infinite possibilities, maybe? And we'll find out when we do head games later on, all the things you can do with the head key.
Wouldn't be a bad thing to have, just saying.
No, it would not. But that is the end of the first volume of the Lock and Key series. Like I said before, freaking love this series.
Absolutely amazing books.
Yeah. Joe Hill, which for any who do not know is... Stephen King's son.
Oop. I know what you meant.
Yeah, his full name is Joe Hill King.
Yeah.
And he just removed the King so he can
do his own thing.
Now live off his father's legacy, clearly.
Which is, I mean, probably a good thing because I didn't know. It took me a while before I knew that Joe Hill was Stephen King's son.
I didn't know he was Stephen King's son until you just said so.
Oh, well, hey, there you go.
Learn something new every day.
Exactly. Yeah, I love the series, obviously. You both.
Oh, amazing.
Same.
Yeah. It stands apart from other comics, for sure. Yeah.
It definitely keeps you, you know, interested the whole time because you don't know, like, a lot of things, you know, even with foreshadowing stuff, you know, with this series, it's harder to tell where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once, you know, your first time through it.
Yes. Because, I mean, after you get done reading it, you're like, holy shit, I need to go back and see.
Exactly.
So, it's like...
But they definitely did an amazing job of keeping it, you know, keeping your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of details to be missed hidden with like the artwork and stuff.
Yes.
So like,
especially that first time through.
Yes. The first time through you're so like engrossed on the story itself, mm-hmm. you just don't pay attention to the panels, but you go through like a second time, you're like looking for things.
Or even a third time or fourth time. I mean, it's just you're finding, like I said, I'm finding something new every single time I read it. And it's just amazing. Like I love it. This is our first not DC or Marvel we're doing.
That's not true.
Or Vertigo. Asshole. DC, Vertigo is part of DC. So, and I do plan on, the reason I chose these as our first offshoot
is because they're awesome.
They're just fucking amazing. So, I definitely recommend reading it if you can. If you can get a hold of a hold of it. Libraries. I know our libraries around here have them on the shelves. Plus, I see them at Half Price Books all the time for cheap. So, guys, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being on this first time. I'll have you back on the proceeding episodes. And until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with a brand new story arc.